I want to share on a topic I've entitled Making Life Less Complicated. You may have noticed that we've grown in our society to a point where there are a lot of overworked, overburdened, and stressed out people. And unfortunately, believers too are amongst that group. Unwillingly, we have been molded by the world to carry many, if not all, of the same worries and priorities as they have. I think, and I think you will agree, that God designed us to live uncomplicated and simple lives. But sometimes we allow the pressures of the world and other things to crowd out the beauty of living a life of balance. The good news is there's hope. As we move forward, we want to keep our lives what I would call ones of ease and grace. That, to me, is something really worth fighting for. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which you've heard many times, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." I love that first phrase. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Remember a bumper sticker that once said, "When all else fails, pray." Well, hey, how about pray first?
Yeah.
And then we won't have anything else to worry about, will we? Yeah, that's something. Wonderful man, our father in the Word, Victor Paul Werwell, said, "Peace isn't something you work for, it's something that you have. It's something that came as a part of the package of Christ in you, the hope of glory." Doctrinally, Christ was our peace. And practically, we get that peace. Making life less complicated. Well, I guess if we quit worrying about everything and anything, then life would be a lot less complicated. What do you think? But I want to draw your attention to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, in verse 29. And who has that? Joe, do you have it right there? Can you read it?
Well, do you mean, or you know, New Living?
Yeah, what version is this?
7:29, there's the NLT, there's King James.
Okay, this is the King James.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ecclesiastes
7:29 said, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." And this is the New Living Translation. "But I did find this, God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own downward path." Huh, that's interesting. Well, here's another version, the New Living Translation, and I love this. It says, "God has made us plain and simple, but we have made ourselves very complicated." The things of God are just absolutely amazing and very, very simple. I mean, if you ever heard this statement, you know, when you hear the truth, you just know it down in the depths of your heart. That's because truth is very, very simple. But, you know, the world we live in and the complexities of relationships and personalities and circumstances and all these different things has a tendency to make life a little bit more complicated. And actually, people actually say about themselves, "I'm a very complicated person." I'm like, really? Well, maybe so, but like this says, we have made ourselves very complicated. So, you know what? We take off all those things that want to have a tendency to complicate our lives, because what we really want, and this is number one of four different things that I'm going to be sharing on this morning to help make life less complicated. Number one, simplicity. And what's the end result of simplicity? It helps to bring contentment, and it helps to bring rest to a person's soul. I am reminded of this verse, so beautiful, in Matthew 11:28. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Boy, isn't that something? What a promise. What a promise. And that one in Philippians, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. Simplicity is such a beautiful thing. And what it truly does is brings contentment and rest to our souls. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even what? As thy soul prospers. As thy soul prospers. Where if our soul is all caught up in the complexity of life and the political parties and the this and that and every, trying to resolve every social issue known to mankind, you know what? It can really get us stirred up. I think what we really cry out for many times is just that simplicity and that rest to walk and live our lives in ease and grace. So that's number one, simplicity to bring contentment and rest. And number two is silence to allow for a hearing heart and direction. Boy, how critical is that? I'd like to take your Bibles, please, and go to 1 Kings chapter 3, start in verse 9. So simplicity and silence. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?'" Wow. You know, it's interesting, when Solomon prayed for wisdom, it's funny that he did not use the wisdom. Mm-hmm. What he did pray for, according to the ESV, was an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may be discerned between good and evil. In his affirmation of Solomon's prayer, God summarized it as a request for understanding to discern what is right. And, you know, wisdom is a perfectly fair one-word description. And actually, in that later version of the prayer we have in 2 Chronicles, Solomon does ask specifically and explicitly for wisdom. But it is worth noting that the actual language in 1 Kings 3, the ESV translation of understanding mind in verse 9 and understanding in verse 10 translates a Hebrew verb which really means to hear. The two lines translated more literally says, "Give to your servant a hearing heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil." So that might be worth going back and having a look at. "Therefore, give to your servant," verse 9, "a hearing heart." And in the King James Version of the Bible, if you have a center margin, you'll notice a footnote. And in the center margin, it says, "a hearing heart." Mm-hmm. You know, to hear is pretty flexible. Even in English, it can have the possibilities of understand as in, "Are you hearing me?" Or even obey or heed. But so, you know, this translation of the ESV, it's not wrong. But maybe we want to look at more of the literal translation. The more affirmative and concrete word here reminds us that wisdom, discernment, or understanding, biblically conceived, is a matter, first of all, of hearing the word of the Lord. Wisdom in its biblical concept is not an abstract trait that some people just naturally have, but it is a result of hearing the word of the Lord and digesting it and embracing it. Solomon, of all people, prays for a hearing heart, and God rephrases this as a request to hear judgment. That's what wisdom is. It is receptive. I've always just been so blessed with that particular understanding of that section. Because Solomon didn't know what to do. He says, I'm but a little child. I don't know how to go in or come out. And therefore, he's saying, God, open my ears that I can hear from you so I know how to make the right judgments. I know what the wisdom is to move forward. I have the perspective that only you can really give. And to give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart. So that to me is number two, to be in that place of silence. Simplicity, silence, and thirdly, solitude. You know, we kind of live in a society, like we were saying there before, but people don't know how to be alone with themselves. You know, we've got to have people around them all the time with TV on or music going or something happening or whatever. But you know what? Solitude is a good thing, and maybe for some people it's better than others for shorter and long periods of time. But what solitude does is it really enables us to get into a place so that transformation can occur. It gives us that opportunity to really mull over and think things through and, like I like to say, ruminate, mull things over a little bit. And I love this verse in Mark 1:35. Which you're welcome to go to with me. So we have simplicity. And we have silence. I think once we kind of tried these experiments, you know, just like try to keep your mind stayed on something for 30 seconds, you know. It's like 5 seconds later or 2 seconds later, you're already thinking about something different. But I think maybe the art of practicing being silent, being quiet, and putting ourselves in an environment to really hear from God. Jesus was a master at this. In the morning, verse 35, Mark chapter 1 says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there what? He prayed. There are countless records in the Gospels, which we aren't going to go to right now, where Jesus was right in the middle of something major, and then he would separate himself from the disciples and go to a mountain place, possibly, and just get alone with him and God. And, boy, I tell you, that's a really valuable thing for all of us to have those times where it's just me and God, you know, kind of like that old song, you know, my God and I. Because when it all comes down to it, that's really what it's all about, walking with God. And I trust that some of these things that I'm sharing with you about simplicity and silence and now solitude, these are all things that can help to enhance our ability to really walk with God, hear from God, experience God. And so it's an ongoing process. And finally, number four, we'll call it, is a word that we don't frequently use in our vocabulary with our background and our culture, but I don't think it's a bad word at all, and it's the word surrender. Mm-hmm. So we have the four S words here: simplicity, silence, solitude, and surrender. And in surrendering, and that's like giving up of ourselves, we do really try to find true freedom. And in that surrendering of our will, let's say, to the Father's will, we find really true humility. You know, the greatest freedom is the greatest commitment. And one of the greatest commitments that any man can ever make is in the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, which you all know and probably can state from memory, which says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Our willingness to accept Jesus as the Lord of our lives and allow him to be the master in our lives, you know, it is a one-time thing, but it also becomes a daily thing for him to assume that lordship of our lives. And that's going to take some of us laying down some things so that he can have the mastery of this, of our lives. And it's a beautiful partnership. It really is. At this time, I'm going to play a song for you that I think really helps to solidify this great truth. So just sit back and enjoy. This is called You Are My All in All.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy. again.
Declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. It says you'll be saved, you'll be made whole. For the heart believe, man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, right? That's all part of the surrender process, I call it. I mean, Jesus had a lot of incidences with people in the Gospels where they wanted to commit themselves fully to him, and then he would tell them, they'd say, they'd ask, what do I need to do that? And then he'd give them, you know, something that, you know, some of them balked at, that's for sure. But really what God wants is our heart. And we can give all the sacrifices and do all the things and go through all the rigmarole, kind of like the Pharisees did. But you know what? The common people had the heart for God. And Jesus had the way, the truth, and the life to get those people from the place they're at into that relationship and into that place of transformation. So that's what I really wanted to leave you with here today, is how to make your life more less complicated is, yes, to have simplicity, have silence, have solitude. But I think even more importantly that we give our hearts to God every day, that we just say, Father, whatever you have in store for me, I am willing and able and desirous to do. I read this recently. It says, the aim of Scripture is to produce a certain kind of person, not provide an exhaustive list of rules for every situation. The aim of Scripture is transformation. It's the heart change so that each and every day we are drawn to God because of our love for Him and because of what Christ has done on our behalf. He's bridge that chasm, right, between man and God with the purpose, with his life, so that now we can enter into the throne room of grace. So some simple things I think here to remember this morning. And I'm inspired by this quote from Charles Spurgeon. It says, no man can do me a truer kindness in this world than to pray for me. Well, that's one of the most loving acts that we can ever do for another brother, sister, an enemy, someone who's not right in our living room or in our close proximity, and that is to pray for them. And I think that's part of the transformative act that happens and occurs in our heart, because there might be a lot of senses factors involved in life that helps to make it more complicated. But when all the shrouds and all the other things are off, God looks at our heart. He does not see as the other men see it. He doesn't look at the outward appearance. This is in 1 Samuel 16:7. Remember that? Yeah. God doesn't look at the outward man. He looks at the inward man. He looks at the heart. So we want to make our lives less complicated. We learn to live from the heart. And God is in the business of helping us to do that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of being able to share these simple truths. I pray, Father, that as we bow before your throne of grace and say good morning, Lord, that our hearts can truly be filled with an abundant amount of grace and goodness, Father, that we have to continue to share with your people, with the world, and that we may live our days in thanksgiving, Father, because of who you have made us to be through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom we are so thankful. And we pray in his name, amen.